This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ where I sit, Christ where I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Christ. May your salvation, Lord, be ever with us. Amen. I like this prayer from St. Patrick because, in essence, believe it or not, this is what the gospel today is all about. As I have been praying for balm from Gilead to help me deal with this text, I originally wrote a sermon on Jeremiah's text, and believe it or not, yesterday morning I discarded it because I felt like I was not being true to what I'm called to do. Even though that was not a bad sermon and the gospel is there, I thought, you know, I'm running away from this text. If you feel confused about the text you heard this morning, then you've got great company. I had a little bit of hope as I began to do research and realize that biblical scholars are saying this has been one of the most difficult texts for scholars to understand. So suddenly I felt like I'm in the blissful company of ignorant theologians. The only problem was it wasn't getting the sermon written for me. But anyhow, to set the mood for it, the prayer that I introduced us with, indeed, is what we are all called to do and to be the presence of Christ in this world. The issue for me with this text, what makes it so difficult, really comes down to one question. How is it that this unfaithful steward, who is relieved of his responsibility, a polite way of saying he's been fired, and he's now cleaning out his desk, suddenly is gaining the praise of his employer, even though he has had a dishonest reputation and has been stealing from his employer? How can this be? In order to understand what is here, we have to look at the bigger picture and the context out of which this scripture reading comes. And we began to do that with these last several weeks, as Father Marty has also been enlightening you, and as we continue that process. The story actually goes back to Luke 15, and it begins with these words. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners, and he eats with them." That is the situation that begins the whole story. The Pharisees and the scribes realize that they cannot outdo Jesus, that his knowledge of God and his understanding of the scriptures is indeed profound. And so they decide to resort to trickery. Maybe we can tarnish his reputation. But soon they realize that his reputation also is quite solid. So let's attack him for his association. If this man hangs around with sinners, then obviously there is one thing they all have in common. He must be a sinner also. And because of that, Jesus responds with four parables. Last week, we actually dealt with two of those parables. The first being the parable of the lost sheep, where we heard about how Jesus is saying that every single soul, every creature that has been created by our loving God has a meaningful purpose and is worthy of God's love and God's redeeming. Now, the people of Jesus' day, especially the scribes and Pharisees, had a different perspective. They looked upon every man and woman around them through the eyes of the law and saw everyone as a sinner. And so they're preoccupied by gradating and making levels of all these sins, determining who is what in this sinful world. Jesus is quite different. Jesus is looking at every individual as someone of worth, worthy of God's love and God's redeeming, despite their sinfulness and brokenness. The second parable that we heard along with this one from last week was the parable of the lost coin. Now we realize this woman had 10 coins and she loses one. But one coin is worth a day's wage. It is of value. And so what Jesus is pointing out in this parable is the effort that you and I seem to put into things that we deem to be valuable. In this story, the woman deems this lost coin to be valuable. It's a whole day's wage. And so she tears apart the house and diligently is searching for that coin. And when she finds it, she tells her neighbors and they rejoice. If people put that kind of effort into finding a small piece of silver, a coin, then what more does it say about our God who puts value on every single soul? If people get that excited about a lost coin that is found, then how much more excited is our God for a sinner who comes home and seeks forgiveness and renewal? The third parable is not in our readings with this particular cycle we are now into, the parable of the prodigal son, or it is also known as the parable of the loving father. A very familiar story to all of us. A story of how God wants everyone back home to restore everyone to the life that he is able to provide and give for them. God does forgive all past wrongs and gives everyone a fresh start. And so in this story, the sinners that are seeking out Jesus, the sinners that Jesus is having table fellowship with, are those people who are returning home like the lost son. And in this parable, it is the Pharisees and the scribes that illustrate the older son, who is so full of pride and his own self-righteousness that he cannot see how great it is to welcome back the lost and those who are seeking life and renewal. Finally, the fourth parable, which is the one that is before us today, the parable of the unjust steward. While this is a very confusing piece of scripture, the one thing that is important to keep in mind, the Pharisees and the scribes understood it. They knew that Jesus was talking about them. And therefore, as we see in the scripture, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all of these things, and because they heard, they derided Jesus. Today's parable is not the only time that we find Jesus using the example of an unrighteous person to illustrate a point about righteousness. In fact, two more chapters down the road in Luke, we find the parable of the unrighteous judge. In order for us to understand what Jesus is doing here, we need to break down the symbolism in the complete story with all the parables and to begin to look at the principle that is being illustrated and pointed to by Jesus. Now, it's very easy to understand, first and foremost, that the Lord in the story is the Lord God, who has created all things and has provided for each. To God, each of us, our stewards of God's creation, of the blessings that God showers upon each of us. God created you and me from the beginning of the world, And he gave mankind dominion over all things. For as we are reminded from the words of Genesis, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so the best description of what our life purpose is all about in this existence here on earth is one of being a steward. A steward who is blessed, loaned gifts, and to make the best use of those gifts to serve the master and to serve others. A steward does not own the things that are given to him or to her, does not own that which you are called to manage. In the same way, God gives you and I a life, a particular life with particular gifts and abilities, and we are called to manage that life and to bring everything to God as we utilize those gifts. Indeed, as we find later in Luke's words, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and began to beat the manservants and maidservants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not make ready or act according to his will, shall receive a severe beating. But he who did know and did what deserved a beating shall receive a lighter beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him will much be required, and of him to whom men commit much, they will demand all the more. Hard words to hear, but it is a checkup for reality. With the blessings that God has given to each and every one of us, they come in different ways and different amounts. We all do not have the same gifts. Nonetheless, we are given gifts. Each of us has different talents and different abilities. And with those gifts and abilities, God expects a great deal of our lives. As Paul has said, as each one had received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the mysteries of God. You see, one of the greatest gifts that you and I possess from God in being called Christians is to simply spread the good news of Jesus. It was sung so well in the song we sang before the gospel and after, the balm of Gilead, simply to share the good news of Jesus. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Simply being true to our gifts and faithful to the one who has allowed us, privileged us, and honored us to have the gifts we have. But how many of us have truly been faithful stewards of God? How many of us waste precious time on the job of being a Christian that could possibly increase the work of our Lord, yet we were the obstacle that did not allow that growth to occur? We have all bypassed opportunities that would profit the work of the kingdom. We, like the bad steward, the unjust steward, apply our talents sometimes in ways that God is not asking us to use them. As Paul reminds us, we have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But God does not give up on us. Just like the man in the parable, we are unjust stewards. We sometimes do dumb things with the gifts we have. But God forgives, and God finds goodness through what we can do when we are faithful. Doesn't that all seem to describe us well, that like the unjust steward, we don't like to work for a living, and we're always looking for the easy way out, or we desire laziness instead? I believe that describes us so well. It's easy to come to church and sit in a queue. It's so much harder to be out in the world, allowing our mouths and our hands and our feet to do the action of loving as Christ has called us. How many of us look for that easy way out and for the least effort? The unjust steward refused to beg. He had too much pride. How often we think that some of the work we are called to do is beneath us and our dignity. Being forewarned that he's about to lose his job, the unjust steward brilliantly provided for himself by making use of his Lord's resources. But note very carefully that his Lord doesn't commend him for the mismanagement of his possessions. Rather, as the scripture says, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Jesus is not praising the unrighteous actions. It is the admiration of the brilliant planning that occurred at the end of the story. And so we too are warned that we don't have much time in this life to be good stewards. Life is short. We know that it doesn't last forever. For as scripture says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So in real terms, we don't have long to stand in this life. The time is short. For us to stand before the Lord, we will be called and be made accountable for all that we do. St. Paul reminds us, and as it is appointed for all men to die, after this comes the judgment. So then each of us shall account of himself before God. All four parables that make up the readings that we have had over these last couple weeks, brought to summation with the one we have today, all bring us to one particular point. If we tear those parables apart separately and do not see them in light of each other, if we take them out of their context, if we bring meaning to them that really isn't there, we get lost. But this is the point that Jesus is really trying to make. He is stating that ungodly people in this world know how to make the most out of worldly things. Things that in reality they do not own. Things that God has given to them. And in contrast to that, and this is where the problem begins, the so-called godly people don't know how to get the most out of the spiritual blessings and gifts that you are given. Our problem is we don't know how to use those gifts well. And yet our faith is there to guide us and to bless us and help us to be people who are blessed with spiritual gifts, with the love of Christ in us, to be able to bring that to our broken world. You see, that is exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes were all about. Right in front of them are people who are broken, who are in need, who more than anyone need the love of their God. And yet these church leaders, these religious leaders, ignore them and do not make use of the spiritual gifts that they are truly about. If you and I are to receive praises from God, then we need to make the most of the resources that God showers upon us and not take advantage of those gifts for ourselves, but simply become a vehicle of grace to allow those gifts to flow out to others. Because you see, we are not aiming to make this world the best it can be for us, because this life is only temporary. We are only here for a moment of time. What is important is what is yet to come. This life is too short to enjoy. The lasting treasure is that which is eternity, our heavenly home. And Luke reminded us of that just last week when we read, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also shall your heart be." Importantly, what benefits God also benefits us in the long run. If we truly use the gifts that God provides to us in the hereafter, then we are not wasting our time with the Lord's resources. We then are truly doing the Lord's will and his work. A troubling phrase for me comes from verse 9, where it reads, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. A difficult phrase, but when I realize that the word friends here in the original Greek is referring not to worldly friends, but our spiritual friends, those who have gone before us, the angels and the archangels, they are there waiting to receive us. They are there guiding us, praying for us, hoping that we will do well with our gifts in this life. As people of God, we need to pursue things and make the best we can in this life, but realizing that the true goal in this life is not this world, but the world to come and the gifts that will enable that love and that hope to come to others. Paul says it so well to Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold to eternal life. And so, in a nutshell, Paul helps us to understand what Jesus is saying. Obedience to Christ means being in eternal friendship with him and to follow his will and his commands. Jesus also informs us that God is watching what we do in all of the little things. And what I mean by little things is our own life. Our own little life is important. And all that we do and all that we say with it, God is watching, constantly hoping and praying that we will be in fellowship with him. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? You know, that's a principle that we apply in our business world. We don't hire a young stud out of college and have him in charge of the company. We allow them to do some of the chores that are at the bottom of the company, to begin to prove themselves and to work up in responsibility. And so the Lord is doing likewise. A person who is willing to steal small change indeed will not have restraint if the opportunity comes to steal a large fortune. Thus, we can view life as a promotion, as we too prove ourselves that we are able truly to utilize these gifts and not waste them. If we can't make a profitable use of our borrowed lives from God, then why should we even think that we'll have eternal life? What is the purpose and point of this earthly life but then to rehearse for the life that is eternity? You see, the Pharisees and the scribes had a terrible problem. They were too caught up in the things of this world. They lost perspective. They lost sight of the principle and the goal of what true religion is about. It's not about living in this physical world. It's about having a relationship now and forever with our Creator. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will hate either one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Something has to give. And so you are called to make a choice regarding who you will serve in this life. And so I end by asking you, what will you do with the life and the gifts that God has loaned to you? Amen.